This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Larry21.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
Welcome to the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast, where we dive into the latest rumors and news surrounding Texas Rangers baseball.
Welcome to Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast. I'm your host, LaPerry Lease. On today's episode, we're going to dive into the latest headlines from around Globe Field, as well as break down some of the headlines heading towards the playoffs. Before we dive into today's topics, we'd like to remind you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Just search Talkin' Texas Rangers. As always, give us a thumbs up if you like our videos, subscribe to the channel, and that bell notification button to be notified of future videos. So without further ado, let's dive into today's first topic. We're going to take a look at our weekly report. The playoff hopes are hanging by a thread. The Texas Rangers had yet another volatile week. There were many positives, but also many negatives. Let's take a look at this past week's recap. To start off the week, they traveled up to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays and came away sweeping them in what was a must-win series for Texas. Everyone from Jordan Montgomery to the Rangers offense really focused and played some of their best baseball in a while. The Rangers outscored the Blue Jays 35-9 in what was a huge momentum gain with the playoffs right around the corner. Evan Carter even got his first career home run. Things were looking up for the Rangers after finishing the final game in Toronto for the season. Unfortunately, the Rangers got some bad news while up in Toronto. During his outing on September 12th, Scherzer left the game at the sixth inning with an injury. The next day, the Rangers found out he had a low-grade teres major strain and will be out for the remainder of the season, possibly the playoffs, if they make it. Luckily, he will not need surgery and will be ready for the start of next season. However, the momentum that they built up in Toronto went away pretty quickly. The second half of the week, they got swept by the Cleveland Guardians. That is probably the last thing they wanted to have happen. They had a chance to overtake the AL West again this week and blew it. It was just like the Texas Rangers said, quote, "We can afford to lose these games. Other teams can help us keep our playoff spot." The pitching is horrendous, and the offense decided to take the entire series off during the most important part of the season. I don't think fans would have minded this if it happened at the beginning of the season. However, we are 2 weeks away from the end of the regular season. Every game from here on out matters. Taking a night off could cost you playing in the month of October. The game that really frustrated me the most was Saturday's game. The pitching showed up ready to play, but the bats decided to take the night off. The bats would have shown up, they could have easily won that game. According to the standings, the Rangers still hold on to the last wildcard spot in the American League right now. Seattle Mariners are the first team outside the wild card, one game behind the Rangers. The Mariners will be in Arlington on Friday for a three-game series. I expect that series will be a drama-filled showdown between two divisional foes. Well, let's talk about some good news now as we shift our focus to the minor leagues. Two of the Rangers' top prospects got promoted this week. Let's start off with Wyatt Langford, who is literally a walking supernova right now in the Rangers organization. I'll have to say I had my doubts about him starting out in the majors next season just because of how young he is. Watching him play in Amarillo this past week has completely changed my mind about where he should start next year. Take a look at the numbers he has put up since starting his professional career. It's just unreal how good he is at the plate. I got to watch him when he got promoted to Frisco, and his patience at the plate is unreal. I didn't think he'd be already at AA near the end of the season. Well, that all changed as he got promoted to Round Rock just in time for the playoffs. it was announced that the Rangers would be sending Langford and Jack Leiter to the Round Rock Express as they take on the Tacoma Rainiers this week. This will be a good experience for both players as they will get a taste of the AAA level. It's unknown at this time if Leiter will pitch for the Express in the final series. There might be a possibility he does if the Rangers organization asks the Express to start him. If he doesn't end up pitching for the remainder of the season, Leiter had a very good final outing. He pitched 5 innings, finished, allowing 3 hits, 2 runs, and struck out 9 batters. Ever since Leiter has come back from the Instructional League in Arizona, he has been a completely different pitcher. His command seems to be better, and he's not forcing anything over the middle of the plate. Hopefully he can continue this turnaround into next season. So right now, the Texas Rangers are in a series with the Boston Red Sox at home. And then on the 22nd to the 24th, they begin their series against the Seattle Mariners. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section below on the topics we covered. Is there something we missed, something we should have covered? Let us know. And if there's something we got wrong, let us know as well. And now on to our next topic. We're going to talk about 4 players that are key to Rangers making the playoffs. The marathon of a season for the Texas Rangers has now turned into a sprint. And in order for Texas to win the race, they will need these 4 players to play very well down the home stretch. So starting off at number 1, John Gray. The news about Max Scherzer missing the rest of the regular season and being unlikely to make a return in the playoffs increases the importance of John Gray. He signed back in 2021 with Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. He chose Texas even though they were coming off a 102-loss season. He signed here with the expectation that Texas would be in this position. They are now, and now they need him to be the solid number 2 pitcher that he can be. Texas does make it to the wild card round, Gray is likely starting 1 of 3 games. Gray has had a rough September. He pitched last Friday and got the early yank once again. He pitched 2 2/3 innings back on September 10th, and Friday night he only pitched 3 2/3 innings. In 3 September starts, he has a 7.15 ERA and has not pitched more than 5 innings in any of the 3 starts. He has been having command issues this month as he now has 8 walks and 2 hit batters in the 11 1/3 innings pitched this month. He has not been good enough, and Friday night, Haney was not able to bail him out. Haney pitched 2 innings and allowed 6 runs, and after that, Texas waved the white flag. Gray has the ability to be a dominant right-handed starter. He can get that fastball up to 97 with a nasty curveball and a slider combination. He also throws a changeup and sweeper. The issue he has been having this season is hitters are having more success against his fastball than in any previous season. Hitters have a .345 batting average against the fastball and a .263 batting average or below on his other pitchers. Gray has a very important role on this team, and even more so now that Scherzer is out. Texas is able to line up their rotation. It will likely go Nathan Eovaldi, then Gray, or Montgomery for game 2 and 3 of the wildcard round. Gray is likely to get the ball to either clinch a first round series or extend the series to a game 3. If he continues to pitch like he has, it could be an early exit for this Texas Rangers team. He needs to get back to being the pitcher who is able to pitch 6 to 7 innings and striking out 7 or more batters. That kind of Gray performance will give Texas a chance to win every time he steps on the mound. Number 2. Jose Leclerc. Bochy is taking a more unconventional route to managing his bullpen lately, which has been successful. He has leaned on pitchers such as Martin Perez and Cody Bradford more lately in late game situations. One pitcher who he has felt comfortable with in the late innings is Jose Leclerc. He brought Leclerc primarily in the 7th inning or later. He has used Leclerc as a bridge guy to get a more matchup-oriented 8th inning, and then Chapman in the 9th. It appears that will be Leclerc's role going forward the rest of the season and into the postseason. Leclerc has been successful in walking the tightrope he sometimes puts himself into. He still is having some issues with walks this month, but he is navigating it and coming through with pitches when it matters. He has holds in his last 2 appearances, including a tight situation against the Blue Jays on Thursday night. The score was 4-2 with a runner on first. He struck out the first 2 batters he faced, then walked Bo Bichette to put the tying run on first with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. up at the plate. Guerrero worked the count full, and on the sixth pitch, Leclerc struck him out to end the inning and preserve the 4-2 lead. Bochy is likely to call up Leclerc in key situations down the stretch with runners on base or no runners on in a close game. Texas will need Leclerc to come through in these situations and hand the ball off to whoever is next out of the pen. If he is shaky and lacking confidence in his pitches, that will make it much harder for Texas to hold on to these games late. He is absolutely one of the more important pitchers in the entire bullpen these last 2-plus weeks. Number 3, Josh Jung. It appears Jung is aiming to come back on Monday against the Red Sox. It's looking he will be activated without any rehab assignment. He is just going to be thrown out there. I don't know if that is a smart move. The team does need him back both in the field and in the batter's box. It is clear that it took Jonah Heim about 2 to 3 weeks to get his timing back at the plate. Unfortunately for Josh, that is all that is left in the season. They will need him to get his timing back over the course of 3 days against the Red Sox. Be ready to go against the Seattle Mariners when they come to town on Friday for that all-important series. Josh Jung was one of the leading contenders for the AL Rookie of the Year award when he went down with a broken thumb on August 6th. That was almost 6 weeks ago now. Texas needs him to pick up where he left off. The team needs him to provide power at the 5 spot and to drive in runs. He was on pace to get close to 100 RBIs or eclipse that mark before his injury. Can he get the timing back that he had before the injury? One thing to watch for is how patient Bochy is with him, especially if he gets off to a very slow start. If Texas can get a Josh Jung that is at least somewhat productive the last 2 weeks of the season, it will make their lineup more competitive from 1-9 on a nightly basis. It will make them harder for teams to pitch to. It will give them great opportunities to win on a nightly basis. That is the goal, to win every game. A healthy and productive Josh Jung gives that team that opportunity. Number 4, Jonah Heim. Over the last few games, it is looking like Heim's bat is starting to come around. He had the grand slam against the Blue Jays in the first game of the series, and had another home run in the last game of the series. He went 6-18 in the series, as Texas won all 4 games to establish some distance between themselves and the Blue Jays. Heim came off the IL back on August 13th and has been inconsistent at best and not good at its worst. Texas desperately needs Heim to be productive at the plate in order to win. When he is going well, he not only is hitting for power, but he is lining balls into the gaps and driving runners in. He has also recently resumed being able to switch hit again. That was shown out on Monday night when the grand slam he hit was a hit right-handed. One of the more interesting stats for Heim is the difference in production in wins and losses. When Heim does play, Texas has a 62-55 record. Heim in wins has a .323 batting average and .947 OPS. That is compared to a .194 batting average and a .551 OPS when the team loses. That was shown out on Friday night when Heim went 0-2, 2 strikeouts in a game Texas lost 12-3. Heim already does so much for the team with his defensive play behind the plate, including being one of the best in the league at framing pitches. They will need him to be the offensive force he was in Toronto on a nightly basis. I would go so far as to say that Heim is the X factor for this team. We kind of know what we are going to get from Marcus Semien, Seager, and Nathaniel Lowe. If they can get production from Heim, that certainly will make it more likely that they will win that game. Texas is striving to end the playoff drought, and we will know over the next 2 weeks if they are able to do it. It could come down to game 162. It will take a complete team effort. Good or even great performances from these 4 players will go a long way toward determining if they will get their finish this sprint and qualify for the playoffs. And with the playoffs right around the corner, that just means we're just mere steps away from the offseason. So we're going to dive into 3 pending free agents Texas Rangers need to let walk and 2 they need to keep. Starting off with Martin Perez. Martin Perez had a good run, but it is time for the Rangers to move on. The Rangers surprised many outside observers when they gave Martin Perez the qualifying offer for the 2022 season. Perez was certifiably awesome last season, but it was also the only season in his decade-long career that he had been remotely that good, and his peripherals suggested a certain amount of luck being involved. Unsurprisingly, Perez happily signed the offer, as almost $20 million for one season of work is hard to pass up. Unfortunately, Perez has reverted back to being the guy that Rangers fans had come to expect him to be. He currently sports a near 5 ERA in 122.2 innings of work, and he has seen a noticeable dip in his strikeout rate this year. If you take a look at his Statcast profile, very little about how he has pitched this season gives one cause for optimism, as his peripherals range from meh to bad. Perez had a good run, and it is hard to blame Texas for trying to have him run it back one more time after last season. They should move from him at this point. Next up, they should not keep Jake Odorizzi around. To the surprise of exactly no one, Jake Odorizzi should be among the first guys that Texas decides to move on from after the 2023 season. Odorizzi pretty famously flamed out with the Braves last season, and the Rangers acquired him last offseason in the hope that he would provide more value than the guy they gave up in Colby Allard. Unfortunately, that isn't how things turned out, as Odorizzi has not thrown a pitch for the Rangers in 2023 after having a procedure on his pitching shoulder before the season started. When he is right, Odorizzi is a serviceable starting pitcher. However, between his decline and the trouble with his shoulder, Texas is better served to let him try to catch elsewhere. The Rangers can do better than Travis Jankowski. Jankowski has not been a bad player for the Rangers this season. In 90 games this season, he's slashing .272, .362, .345, with 5 outs above average in the outfield. On a rebuilding team or a team transitioning towards contention, Jankowski is the perfect kind of guy that can serve as a bridge to the future that would be productive enough and not cost an arm and a leg. The problem, of course, is that the Rangers are neither rebuilding or transitioning. This is a team to build now, and left field has stood out as being decidedly not productive. With a lineup that is loaded with production, if Jankowski was an absolutely elite defender, it is possible that the Rangers could justify keeping him around. However, elite defenders don't play left field, and the Rangers should let Jankowski walk and try to upgrade the position going into 2024. Next up, we're going to talk about two they need to keep, starting off with Jordan Montgomery. Keeping Jordan Montgomery should be the Rangers' top priority. After the Rangers went wild in the first half, they made it clear that they were going to remain aggressive, pursuing a deep playoff run. When Texas traded for Jordan Montgomery and Chris Stratton in a deal with the Cardinals at the trade deadline, Montgomery was very clearly one of the best rental starting pitchers available on the trade market. The Rangers were not going to let the opportunity pass them by, given the injuries in their starting rotation this season. In short, Montgomery has been everything the Rangers wanted him to be. In 5 starts so far with the team, Montgomery has thrown 31.1 innings and posted a .230 ERA. While Montgomery doesn't have overpowering stuff, he really knows how to get the most out of what he has and throws a ton of strikes. This is exactly the kind of pitcher the Rangers need going forward, a reliable arm that will throw meaningful innings, limit base runners, and give the team a chance to win every time he takes the mound. He probably won't be particularly cheap, as he's going to be one of the best starting pitchers available in free agency this offseason, but the Rangers should absolutely try to keep him. And along with that, they should also hang on to Chris Stratton next season. The other part of the Rangers' return in the trade deadline with the Cardinals was reliever Chris Stratton. While other Cardinal relievers got more attention at the deadline because of their peer stuff like flamethrower Jordan Hicks, Stratton may have been the best one for the Rangers to target. He generally keeps his walks down, misses a fair number of bats, and his fastball has been uniquely hard for opposing batters to square up this season, despite him not throwing particularly hard. While his overall production with St. Louis was only okay, Stratton has blossomed with the Rangers. In 11 appearances so far for Texas, he's posted a 2.0 ERA with 13 strikeouts and just 2 walks in 18 innings of work. Is Stratton a guy that should be closing games for Texas? Probably not. However, he's a really reliable setup man who shouldn't break the bank to bring back for 2024 and beyond. For a Rangers team that may look to spend big elsewhere, Stratton is exactly the kind of guy the Rangers look to help fill out their bullpen. So do you agree with us or not? Let us know in the comment section below. And what do you think the Rangers should do with their pending free agents? Let us know. Hey, give us a thumbs up if you like our videos. And hit that subscribe button if you want to see more of our great content. And now on to our next topic. We're going to take a look at the Texas Rangers next season payroll. The Texas Rangers appear to have some money to work with this coming offseason. It is hardly a secret that the Texas Rangers have been very aggressive in recent years and invested a lot of money in their payroll. Just at the trade deadline alone, they took on Max Scherzer's $40-plus million AAV contract, despite already having Jacob DeGrom, Corey Seager, and Marcus Semien inked at nine-figure deals as well. However, the 2023 season ends up, it is probably pretty fair to expect the Rangers to continue to remain aggressive in their quest to get back to the World Series while they have this core in place. There is a limit to how much they can spend, though, so we're going to take a look at what the Rangers' payroll looks like for 2024, and how much room they actually have to make moves. All Rangers' payroll figures for the purpose of this have been pulled from SpotTrack and are subject to change. Sometimes unknown incentives or details of contracts become public knowledge and can mess with the payroll, along with options, buyouts, arbitration figures, and not tendering contracts to arbitration-eligible players. So this is actually just an initial glance, not the final numbers. One important figure to keep in mind is the luxury tax threshold, which will be $237 million in 2024. So the total projected 2024 payroll is $172,750 million. Their projected luxury tax is $181,416,666. The Rangers don't have much in the way of options that they have to plan for, especially since Scherzer went ahead and exercised his option for 2024 before he was traded to Texas. Andrew Heaney has a $13 million player option that seems like to be picked up, and the Rangers have a $6.25 million club option for 2024, and the Rangers seem likely to keep him around as well. The biggest source of uncertainty for the Rangers is their arbitration-eligible players. Nate Lowe is hitting his second year of arbitration and is likely to get a significant raise over this year's $4.05 million, although it shouldn't be too painful just yet. Adolis Garcia is hitting arbitration for the first time and will cost a few million as well. With the money currently allocated to Martin Perez, Jake Odorizzi, Jordan Montgomery, and a slew of relievers coming off the books, the Rangers are yet again in a position to be aggressive this offseason. This isn't exactly the ideal free agent to have a bunch of money available, but the Rangers can likely play in whatever part of the free agent market they want to. However, they will have a certain amount of rebuilding to be done, so spreading money around may not be the worst idea. Texas has a lot of their bullpen set to hit free agency and will need to restock there. Plus, the Rangers' rotation looks very unsettled, especially if Jacob DeGrom's rehab takes a particularly long time. As a result, don't be surprised if Texas first tries very hard to keep Jordan Montgomery around. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section below about the topics we covered. Is there a topic you want to see covered in the next episode? Let us know. As always, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TTRangers. Your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, be able to pay them, and hopefully take this show on the road, because we would love to be able to live stream an episode from Globe Life Field or even on the road at a Rangers away game. And of course, thank you so much for watching and listening. We will see you next time.
This has been the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast. Let us know your thoughts on the topics we covered by tweeting us at Talkin' TX Rangers or liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/Talkin' Texas Rangers. As always, thank you for listening. And go Rangers!